We are continuing the theme of promise and partnerships. We have the promise given to our ancestor Noah and his family. I am the Lord your God. I created you. I love you. And yes, you will try my patience, but never again will I destroy you. And as a sign of this promise, I am hanging a rainbow in the sky, a curve of color that will always signify that promise. And this continues with the radical change in the lives of Abraham and Sarah, two people facing their golden years with no children and no sense of what was going to happen to them. And God intervened and chose them to be agents of change in his plan of salvation. And they were the recipients of some wonderful promises. I call them the seven I will, seven I will. They would be partners in the building up of the great nation. They would be fruitful. They would multiply. They would be a blessing to hundreds, thousands, and millions of their descendants. And they would be, in God's plan of salvation, the ultimate blessing and promise, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who would be a light to the Gentiles. And in the reading today from Exodus, which, by the way, can be found in slightly different forms in two places in Scripture, Exodus and Deuteronomy, sometimes they're called the Ten Words. The Ten Commandments provide a roadmap, a description of the way to live out the promises and the promises. They also provide details of how this relationship will flourish and grow. They are relational, a covenant, which in Scripture is a sacred promise between God and his people. They're not simply a contract, which can exist without a relationship, but a covenant which you cannot have without a relationship. They're, you know, sometimes the Ten Commandments, they're like the wedding vows in many ways. God pledges his power and love and presence to Israel. And in turn, God expects loyalty from them and desires they show compassion to others. And God didn't just jot down the commandments and then demand Israel to live up to them. They are descriptions of how people live in relationship with God and each other. They are built on obligation and responsibility, and God is bound by them as we are. Before God ever commands anything of Israel, or to refrain from doing anything, he saves them. In the second verse, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Israel, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Deliverance first, commandment second. Then and only then does God detail the requirements and the responsibility for Israel. And we know that in roughly 40 days after first receiving the commandments, the community are breaking the first two, dancing in front of a golden calf and having an over-the-top party. God forgives them and reissues the commands. Now that's grace. The Ten Commandments move us from the abstract, the theoretical, to specific behavior. And the wonder and grace of the Ten Commandments is that they do not allow us to claim a belief in God without demonstrating that belief in specific concrete actions. They challenge us to affirm our faith in the daily grind of living in relationship with family members, co-workers, church communities, and friends. In other words, with people. And the Ten Commandments do not ask, this is important, do you believe in God? No. They ask us 10 questions. Do I honor anything or anyone above the one true God? Has God been replaced by something physical or material in my life? Have I dishonored God's name by using it in a frivolous manner? Is my work more important than my relationship with God? Do I honor my father and mother? Do I value human life? Have I kept my marriage vows? Do I respect the other's right to ownership? Do I tell the truth? Am I content with what I have? Or do I covet the possessions, relationships, and successes of others? I think that our answers to these questions are actual indicators of our belief in the God of Scripture. The Ten Commandments require personal responsibility and obligation for the well-being of our communities. And each commandment is directed to you, to me. When they were delivered to the Israelites, hundreds and thousands of them were gathered at the base of Mount Sinai. And God did not address the crowd en masse. He spoke to each one individually. You standing by the rock, you by the cedar tree, you standing in front of the tent, you who are glad that finally all those other people are hearing the commands. The Ten Commandments shout that you and I are entrusted with personal responsibility for our behavior, our conduct, our souls, and the well-being of our communities. Every lie we tell, every cruel thought or mean word, every act of dishonesty matters in community. The only way we're ever going to see communities healed, and this is not only in the church, but in the secular world, relationships made whole, and lives changed from the inside out, is if you and I take personal responsibility to look at myself. You know, it reminds you of that song, "Let There Be Peace on Earth," and what? Let it begin with me. They are not, this is, the Ten Commandments are not about rights and freedoms, but about unconditional obligation. And the Ten Commandments and our horizontal relationship with each other. The first four commandments describe our relationship with God, and the last six describe our relationship with each other. And they form the cross of Christ. Jesus in Mark 12 answered a question about which commandment was the greatest. He said, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your entire mind, and all your strength." And the second, Jesus says, is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments, love God and love your neighbor. I think we can easily fall into the trap, at least I can, of thinking as long as I love people, then I can leave God out of the picture. Reminds me of that again. I'm singing songs here, but all you need is love, and that famous line from the Beatles. The problem is we're unable to get everyone to love everybody, to love each other, because God is love. And if you get rid of God, what happens to love? I don't believe that we can have a healthy, holy relationship with people without having a healthy, holy relationship with God. Because the first commandment is so foundational for the rest. And God could have begun by simply saying, look, take a day off. Be nice to your parents. Don't kill each other, et cetera, et cetera. But then the obvious question would be why? Why should we do certain things and avoid others? I had an interesting conversation with someone in Aquasize on Friday. I said, do you believe in the Ten Commandments? Oh, yes, I believe in the Ten Commandments. I said, okay, well, do you believe in God? Well, I'm not too sure about that. But they believed in the Ten Commandments. The God factor was interesting. God, if there was no ultimate authority outside of our own feelings, There would be no reason to recognize the commandments as anything but a haphazard list that could be dismissed anytime we felt like it. When we honor the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and Jesus, it will not matter whether the Ten Commandments are posted in courtrooms or libraries or city hall, for they will be, as the prophet Ezekiel says, written on our hearts. And those around us will witness how our lives are a clear indicator that God is in control of every action, every word, every thought, every moment. Again, another conversation, someone asked me, and I was thinking about this, they said, what are you going to do when, you know, post-pandemic, when we've had our vaccines and we can go out? And I said, I don't think this is about doing. I think this is about how am I, what am I going to be? Have I gained witness, wisdom from this time of isolation? It's about being. Then the doing will come. So take this time in your own personal Lenten journey to get clear about whom it is that you profess to believe in and rely on. Take time to read sacred teaching or scripture and discover again the Lord who led us out of slavery into the promised land. For I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. God is here. Let us pray. Holy One, in Jesus Christ, you've shown yourself to be for us and not against us. Help us to be loyal to our neighbors and do nothing to damage them. Show us the log in our own eye. Make us more ready to forgive than to judge, and to always view the action of the others in the most favorable light. Gracious God, you are the owner and giver of all things. Enable us to be good stewards of all your gifts, content with what you have given us. Give us a generous heart and joy in serving you and our neighbor. Amen.